Praise God. Hallelujah. Once again, hi there, all you healthy people. Praise God. You're going to live long. Amen. Not only that, your days will be full of goodness and God's mercy and loving kindness and grace. Hallelujah. You might be going through a challenge right now, but you are on your way out. All trials are temporal. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's temporal. Another word for it is, the Bible says, it's for a season. Amen. It's only for a season. But God's victory is forever. God's mercies endure forever. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's only for a season. Say, God will see you through. Yes. Amen. In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Everything is yes and amen. All the promises of God. Amen. If you have lost something already, if there is you have undergone a divorce and you felt that you were a victim, it's happened already, it is still not final. Amen. God is able to restore either the same one, or in some cases you don't want the same one. God will give you 7 times better. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, I've seen it happen. Even in this church, I've seen it happen. Now, if you purposely divorce, 7 times more trouble. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn to your wife or your husband and say, not to worry, I'm 7 times better. Come on, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. This morning I want to share with you something that I believe will change the way you look at one another. Amen. I believe that the way we see the body of Christ is also vital to our health. You know that passage that Pastor Joshua was sharing just now about the Lord's Supper, and we have partaken of the Lord's Supper. That was the thing that really got my attention some years ago. And I was surprised that not too much teaching has been given on that passage in 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, for this reason, many are weak. I thought of writing a book called For This Reason. The only reason that Paul gave that people in the church, now we are not interested about the world. You know, when the world goes through something, it's like no wonder. You know what I'm saying? But when people in the church undergo things that Christ took for them on the cross, I'd like to know why. Don't you? And the only reason that Paul gave, the only reason, if you can find another reason, I'd like to see it. Because Paul said it like no other passages where Paul says, for this reason, for this cause, in the Old King James, many among you are weak and sick, and many fall asleep. That means Christians don't die, they fall asleep. You know that, right? Jesus removed the sting from death. That's premature death. So when I study that, the preceding verse, because that verse says for this reason, so I look at the reason. And the reason, the only reason why the church is weak and sickly, it says not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. Then I begin to think that for years, the church of Jesus Christ has been discerning the cup. We know that the blood of Jesus is to wash away our sins. And many a times we take the cup and the bread as one. We say that they are all for our forgiveness of sins. But actually, the problem in the Corinthian church, and I believe with the body of Christ as a whole today, is not discerning the Lord's body. If you read the chapter before this chapter, you find that Paul says, in another place in Corinthians, he says, we being many are one loaf, one bread. So first and foremost, discerning the Lord's body is this. All right? The church for a very long time has seen the body of Christ as the Lord's body. Now that's true. But first and foremost, when Jesus brings, and there's a good theological study, I don't know by who, I read sometime back, about whenever Jesus takes the cup and the bread, it always refers to his blood and his physical body. All right, but in type, The Lord's body is also, now you are the body of Christ. And then there's another place in 1 Corinthians says, we being many are one bread, one loaf, one bread. So that is the secondary interpretation. First and foremost, when you take the cup, all right, and the bread, you must discern in the bread the Lord's body, His healthy body. His healthy body bore your diseases, bore your arthritis, bore your pains. And when you hold it in your hands, you know, the wonderful thing about Holy Communion is this, the Lord's Supper. The pressure is off you to believe God for an instant miracle right now. All right? The more you take of the Lord's Supper, the better you become. Jesus said, this do ye as oft as you drink it, as often. That means, you know what it means? It's Jesus' way of saying, it all depends on how healthy you want to become. You take as often as you want. All depends on how healthy you want to become. That's His way of saying that. And this past week, I read two testimonies that finally I had a time after Jakarta and the missions over there. I came back, I had this pile of testimonies, and I read two testimonies, not related, but they are both about communion. One of them is a guy who was diagnosed with lymphoma, and he underwent chemotherapy and all that. And he heard from someone in our church about the Lord's Supper, and he got hold of my VCD on health and healing through Holy Communion. And he and his family began to take communion every single day for 6 months. And now he says he's so well and so good. And he says, I strongly believe, that's his words, I strongly believe it's because of the Lord's Supper, the communion. Another guy was in this church and he was a chain smoker. And he says, I don't know what happened, but one of that services when Pastor Joshua was leading the Holy Communion, he says that after I took communion that Sunday, I have no more desire to smoke. All the desire went. Now I'm telling you that the body of Christ as a whole, we really do not know the power and the blessing in the Lord's Supper. Amen. We can reverse what Paul said. For this reason, if we discern the Lord's body, instead of weak, we'll become strong. Instead of sick, we'll become well and healthy. Instead of falling asleep before our time, we'll live a long, good life. Amen. Let's discern the Lord's body. So first, primarily, we must discern that in the bread is Jesus' healthy body that carried our diseases. The more you take it, and you know what? Sometimes you don't get healed instantly, but you know what? You're on your way to healing. Amen. There was another man, not from our church, that I know about. I heard his own testimony. He was a pastor years ago. He was diagnosed with kidney failure. Both kidneys stopped functioning. And it's got to do with cancer. Later on, they found out about that. He had relatives go to the hospital with the Lord's Supper. Everyone had the Lord's Supper in their hands. And they thanked the Lord for the Lord's body. They partook. At the same time, one of the best doctors in this field of his disease was studying his cells. They take some specimen, all right, under the microscope. He was studying it. He was looking at it under the microscope. And you know what? At the same time that patient was taking the communion, this doctor was studying his cells, his cancer cells. And he was surprised because all the cancer cells died literally under his eyes while the patient was taking the communion. So, you know, the Lord understands. Sometimes, you know, we have that pressure on us. We are believing God for instant healing. But you know what? Communion lets you believe you're getting better every time you take it. You're getting better and better and better every time you take it. The pressure is off you to believe God for an instant miracle. And I'm telling you, this is what the early church learned. Every time you read in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, it says, and they broke bread. They went from house to house. They broke bread. They broke bread is not chapati or thosai or what's that one? Roti plata. Or roti chana if you are from Malaysia. It is having the Lord's Supper. They had that. And now the Church of Jesus Christ goes through it as a ritual. It is not a ritual, folks. It is a dynamic time. The Lord says, do this in remembrance of me. Pastor Prince, how often do you think we should have it? All depends on how often you want to remember Him. Can you remember Him often enough? Amen? So, I want to tell you something. Today, my message is more of the Lord's body as a whole. Amen. We are the Lord's body. Not just this church, every church in Singapore, all right, we are, you know, whether we call ourselves new creation or old creation, whatever the banner or the title is on your name, know this, we are all one body. You don't hear someone biting their hand, ripping off their skin, biting their toe and pulling out their toe. The Bible says, be careful you don't bite and devour one another. You know why? Because we're all one body. Amen. It is stupid to backbite someone just because they are not from our denomination. Just because they are not charismatics or they are not from our church. It's stupid. Amen. It's stupid to argue over doctrines. The Bible now says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the doctrine is the unity of the Spirit. Amen. We are all the body of Christ. Amen. And I want to show you that if you discern the Lord's body, there is an attitude that brings health to your life. All right, now don't forget, when you take the Lord's Supper, the primary interpretation of the body is what? The Lord's healthy body. But number two, it is also one another, the body of Christ. Can I have a good amen? And if you have a grudge against somebody and you say, well, you know what? They don't believe the grace teaching. Then you are abusing the grace message. You are not being gracious. You know, I don't like to call ourselves a grace church. It's like saying, you know, let's say a hospital says, we have medicine, we are a medicine hospital. Of course, every hospital should have medicine. Not every medicine should have hospital. Every hospital should have medicine. Amen? I mean, it's redundant for a hospital to say, we have medicine. You should have medicine. Amen? So, you know, we should not be saying we are a grace church. The church cannot exist without grace. Can I have a good amen? Praise the Lord. Smith Wigglesworth lived to a ripe old age, and he takes communion every day. Now, am I asking to be that extreme? No. I'm just telling you, we are going to probably have communion every Sunday, very soon. Amen? Amen? If you study the early church carefully, there is a place where, you know, the Eutychus, the guy fell asleep during Paul's preaching and fell off from the third story. I think it's Acts 16, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, it's there in the book of Acts. Now, that's why don't fall asleep when the man of God is preaching. And the guy fell from the third story, he died. And Paul had to raise him from the dead. You know the story, right? Amen? Now, you read carefully that chapter. It says, when they came together to break bread. The early church, their purpose for coming together was to break bread. Amazing. Today, all right, we come together to hear the word. And the word is important. That is one thing needful. Of course, we come together for praise and worship. And we don't talk about coming together to break bread. They came together on the first day of the week, it says. On the first day of the week, they came together to break bread. And the first day of the week is Sunday today. Amen. So I don't know about you, but I want to go back to the pattern of the early church. They had so much power. Amen, church. So what Pastor Joshua said just now is so important that your trust can be in diet. Now, you know, I try to eat well. Someone told me I put on 3 kg. All right? Because I was measured in May and then I was measured now. From May until now, it's 3 kg. Really. But I've been running. Running from my wife and she took a rolling pin. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Here and there, if I can, I exercise. But my trust and Pastor Joshua's trust, he cycles a lot. He exercises. All right? Sometimes he comes down here on his cycle, then change. And then he go back on his cycle. It's not that he doesn't have a car. He has. Amen. Why? He wants to be healthy. Pastor Matthews does the same. Amen. I know a guy in our church, Jess Deer. Strong, healthy, macho guy. Still available. I don't know which floor he stays. I know it's a very high floor. Above 10th floor. And you know what he does? He doesn't take the lift. He runs up. He steps up the stairs. Just for the sake of exercise. So I'm not saying, the Bible says bodily exercise profits little. So whatever little there is, I'm going to take it. If God's word says there's going to be profit little, I'm going to take it. Amen? But our trust must be in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Because that is the foundation of all our good health. Amen, church? Now, the Bible says, because of time, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You are the temple of God. Now, I know many of you, you come from backgrounds of Chinese temples and things like that. I grew up in a temple. My father was a priest. And let me just tell you this. You never expect a priest's son to talk to you, isn't it? My father was born again before he passed on. He's now with Jesus. And, you know, we have all kinds of ideas about temples because of the background we come from, especially in Asia, right? So we must understand the temple of God, again, goes all the way back to the tabernacle of Moses in the Old Testament. And the Bible now says we are the temple of God. We are the temple of God. You know, the argument that, you know, a Christian should not wear gold or silver or ornaments and things like that. They should look plain and drab, all right? That argument was very strong in the early part of 1900s, and Christians looked very, very dull. But if they study the tabernacle, they realize the tabernacle is full of precious stones, ornaments, gold and silver and bronze. Amen. In fact, the closer you get into the holiest presence of God, everything from brass turns to gold. Message, the more closer you get to God, you're going to see gold, bro. Gold in your marriage, gold in your health, gold for gold. Amen. The closer you get, the Holy of Holies is gold. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says we are the temple of God today. Today God doesn't dwell in the building made with hands, not the rock. You know, when we move away from the rock, I said when we move away from the rock, not if. When we move away from the rock. Amen. To a bigger place. Amen. At the most two services. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If two of you shall agree on earth, it shall be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then probably one evening we come back for a celebration. Once a month or whatever. For praise and worship. It's going to be fun. Amen. Oh, I can see the building. Hallelujah. Yes. And you know what, church? Even that building will not be the temple. It'll be a facility to house the temple. Who is the temple? You are the temple. And where does the Spirit of God dwell? You. You can tell your colleagues who don't know where to find God, say, my address. Where I am, God is. Well, how can you say that, Pastor Prince? You know what? They said that of Jesus when he was here. He says, I and my Father are one. And now we in Christ, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. When you say that, it provokes religious people. But it's true, wherever you are, the Lord is. And that's why, you know, when you enter into a company, the company is blessed. Amen. If they sack you, they sack the blessing. Amen. The Bible says Joseph, who was a slave, he was prosperous because the Lord was with him. Amen. He was prosperous not because he had a big savings account. He was not prosperous because, you know, he knew all the right people. He was a slave. My goodness. But he had the Lord with him, and the Bible says he was prosperous. And you know what? The Lord caused him to rise to the top. So same thing. Like I said before, I've sinned time and time again. My wife and I have witnessed, you know, when Christians walk into a boutique or whatever, you know, the boutique is empty, you know, all of a sudden, wow, everyone comes in. Or a cafe. Amen. San Marino, I was told by Jeannie, you know, this cafe outside, they missed us so much last Sunday. They approached Jeannie and said, where do y'all go? They are afraid we are gone permanently. You know, all these tenants down here, all right? They may complain about you queuing up and all that, but they are blessed since you came. Amen. 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 And now, shopping mall owners are giving us Chinese tea, inviting us to come over to their mall, their new mall. Amen. Is a good position to be in. Yeah. Amen? We are the temple of God, and where the temple of God is, God is. Hallelujah. It's not us. You know, when if I give a present, a gift to Deacon Matthew, alright? He doesn't wrap up. I mean, look at all the presents and all the wrappers and the ribbons. He looks at the substance inside. It all depends on his maturity. Now, my daughter, being a girl, she will look at the pretty ribbons. She will look at the beautiful, she likes these wrapping papers and all. She loves it. And she's becoming fast, a real girl. Just yesterday she was telling my wife, you know, we went out somewhere to get something, and she says, I don't like these shoes. Doesn't look nice. I can't imagine a boy saying that. I said, darling, she's fast becoming like you. Next thing you know is shopping malls. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are the temple of God, and the temple of God is beautiful. Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, I want to show you a teaching that will change the way you look at one another. All right? I've shared this in one message years ago. It's quite some years ago now. But at that time, it was more individual. I want you to see yourself as the temple of God. But now I want you to see one another as the temple of God. It's time for us to stop being self-centered or self-focused. There's a place for that, but then you must look out and see one another as that. You know, once we see one another the way God sees each other, we won't see our faults. We won't see our shortcomings anymore. We won't say things like, you know, that guy is down here for the wrong motive. You know, we won't think like this. We'll see everybody the way God sees them. We'll believe the best of everybody. And in that way, we have a healthy attitude. Even if there's someone amiss and all that, God will take care of the person. But you take care of your own outlook. You keep your outlook healthy. Amen. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, being with the temple of God, let's look at the Old Testament. This is how the Old Testament, Old Temple looked like during the time of Moses. And this is the first temple of God. God says, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. What a gracious God. Holy as He is, He wants to dwell with men. He loves men. And this is a temple that God told the tabernacle of Moses. I can call it temple. Strictly speaking, it's tabernacle. All right? But this is the place where God dwells. And what you see, the fire there is the place where the burnt offerings of oxen, lamb, that's where they are burned. Okay? And you can't see the holy place, but there's a portion called the holy place when you first enter. Then there's another place called the Holy of Holies that only the high priest enters. That's where the cloud is. And that's where God dwells. And no one is allowed to go into the Holy of Holies because there was a curtain there, a veil there. But praise be to God, when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was torn from top to bottom, implying that somebody up there tore that veil, separating man from God. And today we can go to God every time, every moment, every second of the day. Amen. And in the Old Testament, it is a old and dying way, because you go in wrongly, you die. But today, Jesus Christ established for us a new and living way. You know what the word living way means? That means the more you come to God, the more you live. The more you come to God, the more you live. The more you come to God, the more healthy you become. The more you come to God, the more blessed you are. The living way. Hallelujah. And notice that the tabernacle, it's actually a rectangle shape. The one where the cloud is. Can you see that? That's the tabernacle. All right. Now, if you look at the inside of it, this is how it looks like. It's made of standing boards. All right, we have uncovered the top layers, the four layers of curtains, and we are looking at can you see the golden boards? Those are golden boards, and they are on silver sockets. All right, all around. All right, north side, south side, west side, east side. All of them are made of standing boards. Say standing boards. Can you see each of them are individual boards they put together? Can you see it's a bar of gold? All right? They're actually boards of wood. Amen. Now, each individual of them is made like this. Let me show you. All right? Can you see the board? Now, by the way, there are two tenons that goes right into the board. The square shape is a board. One board. One board. Okay? Now listen carefully, because this will change your life. Alright? A bit of technical part, then I'm going to start to show you the revelation of it, okay? The one board is one individual believer. It's made of wood. Okay? Then there are two tenons. Now the word tenons is literally hands in Hebrew. And it goes right below the sockets. Silver sockets right below. It fits in. Once it goes in, it cannot move. And it's what is standing. And what makes it stand? The silver socket makes it stand. All right? Now, back to the picture just now. Now, what you see is golden boards. Actually, it's made of wood. But then, after they made cut it out of wood and make it into a standing board, okay, they overlay it with gold. God says you must overlay it with gold. Hallelujah. Now, that's why you look at it. You can't see the wood. You see the gold. Now, church, look at me. Wood in the Bible speaks of humanity. Wood is human beings. Wood. All right? That's where we get the word wooden head. The Bible says we are wood. Amen. You know, the Bible says all the trees of the field will clap their hands. That's not referring to little trees. Some of you see trees. Their trees are made like this, huh? They're always praising God. Now, the problem with us is that we trees are like that. And there's only one tree that's like that. Everything hangs down. And it's called the willow tree. And that's why they call it the weeping willow. So you don't want to live a life weeping. You want to live a life praising. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Amen? So wood comes from trees. Trees is a picture of people in the Bible. Amen? Now, imagine, before these trees or this wood become the temple of God, they were taken from some tree. They were cut off from some tree, and it's acacia wood or shittim wood in the Old Testament, or rather in the Old King James. Shittim wood is a tree you find in the wilderness, in the desert of Arabia, in the Arava desert. You find, in the wilderness, you find these trees frequently. All right? Now, we are like this, all of us. When God first found us, we were all like trees, dry trees in the desert. And then we are planted to this earth. We are so rooted to this earth, to the dust of this earth, that all our values were dusty. And if we don't watch it, dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And the Bible says if you like dust and you are rooted to dust, you become easy food for the devil. Because the devil's food, mentioned in the book of Genesis, God told a snake, dust you shall eat all the days of your life. So church, don't be dusty. Or you become food for the evil one. He goes about seeking whom he may devour, because that tells us there are many believers he cannot devour. May you be numbered among those he cannot devour. Now, we are made, our body is made from the dust, but you know what? God has cut us off from the dust. God cut us off from the dust, from the tree, and God says, I'm going to make you a beautiful board for my temple. And God brought you out of that desert and cut you from your dependence on the earth. And God makes you a standing board. He cuts into a square rectangular shape, as you saw just now. A square rectangular shape. Amen. And then, that beautiful wood is overlaid with gold. Say gold. Now, what is this? Gold in the Bible speaks of divinity, things divine, as well as righteousness, God's righteousness. Now, some of you are getting it already. That means God overlays it with us with gold. When we are safe, God does not leave us the way we are. God overlays you with gold. So that when God looks at you, God sees the gold. God doesn't see the wood. Can you see the wood? No. Go back to the picture. These are words. And this is a wood. Can you see this wood? Quite nice. Say amen. See this wood? Wooden head. Okay. Wood. This wooden board, back to the gold picture. Gold picture. Give me gold, bro. Gold! Can you see the gold? Everywhere you see is the gold. Can you see that? And we're not even talking about the lampstand being lit yet. Once the lampstand lits, even the gold shines. Amen. Everywhere you see is gold. Everywhere the priest turns around, he sees gold. And the gold is made of you and me. You know, we are all side by side. Can you see? Each of us now are side by side. Can you see that? We all make the temple of God. We are side by side. And what makes us stand? The silver socket. All right, now look up here, before I come to the silver socket. The Bible tells us that God made Jesus on the cross. Jesus knew no sin, but God made Jesus on the cross to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So what happened on the cross is this, that God took your sins and my sins, God put it on Jesus. Then all the righteousness of God that Christ is, God gives to us. Jesus takes our sin, we take His righteousness, the gold. And if you ask me the question, I cannot understand, Pastor Prince, how in the world can Jesus, the Son of God, become sin on the cross? The same way, we cannot understand how in the world we who are sinners can become the righteousness of God. It's in a divine exchange. He took our sin, we take His righteousness. Can I have a good amen? So that righteousness is typified here in the goal. One more time, I love looking at the goal. Can you see the goal? Alright, those listening on tape, alright, we are looking at the picture of the golden board. Hallelujah. Alright? Don't be bored. Find the picture somewhere. It's a beautiful picture. Amen. So we are overlaid with gold, and we are all side by side on one another. Can you see that? Side by side. And we are all standing because of the silver socket. You saw just on the diagram, the two pointers down, it's called tenons. The tenons go into the silver socket, and because of that, every board is standing. We cannot fall because we are no more standing. The silver socket holds us up. What's the silver socket? Now, because of time, we're not going to look at all the references that we have. I prepared for you, actually. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's all there in the Bible. Okay? The silver sockets, that silver, now we say silver speaks of redemption. And that's why the Apostle Peter says, you were not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now he's telling you that silver is a picture of redemption in the Old Testament, but ours is a better redemption, is the blood of Christ. But silver gets this idea of redemption because of Exodus 30. It says in Exodus 30 that there's a census taken every year of the children of Israel. Alright, census, which means everyone, when the census is taken, they have to give an atonement money or redemption money. Everyone say atonement money. Now, that money is standard. Rich or poor, all must give the same. It's a half a shekel of silver. Half a shekel of silver. Alright? Half a shekel of silver. Whether you're rich or poor, all must give the same. Which means, is this. Everyone has the same price of redemption, Jesus' blood. It's the same for everyone. Rich or poor. Amen? So everyone must give a half a shekel of silver. And then, what Moses does is that he takes all the silver, and then he melts them into sockets for the boards. Amen. So each board, one board, has two sockets for the bottom part to go into. Alright? Now, I want to call it legs actually, but very interesting, the Hebrew calls those two tenons hands. Later we're going to see why. Literally in the Hebrew it's called hands. And the reference, if you're looking for the boards to read at home and all that, is found in Exodus 26. Now, because, can you see, and for the tabernacle, you shall make the boards of acacia wood standing upright. I like that, standing upright. Amen? Look at the verse 17. Two tenons, hands. In the Hebrew, it's called hands. And that's what our New King James also has. It says hands. Now, look up here, because I don't want to teach too much, all right, on a Sunday, if I can. I want to preach more and give you the food for your soul. All right? Church, look up here. When you look at one another, what do you see? Do you see the wood? Or do you see the gold? And you know what? All of us appear like that before God. Look at all these golden boards. Once again, the golden boards. All these golden boards, when God looks at them, God sees them all together golden, isn't it? It's not that one is gold, another one is bluff gold. Amen. It's not real gold. All right, another one is only brass, bronze, or copper. Alright, it's not real gold. Another one only appears like gold. Oh, this one is painted as you know, gold, but it's not gold. No, all of them are overlaid with solid gold. Real gold. Overlaid with gold. Alright? And they are on silver sockets. And the silver sockets came from the redemption money of the children of Israel. That's why when silver is connected with redemption, that's how we know that silver is a picture of redemption. And all of us are standing on redemption ground! We cannot be standing on our efforts. The reason why we all stand upright before God today is not by our efforts. The redemption of Jesus Christ makes us stand upright. And we are clothed with His righteousness and we look good before God. Amen. When God looks at the boards, and God does not see, oh, this guy is better than that guy or that guy is better than this person. Now, let me just tell you, God sees all of them covered with righteousness. And that's how we are to see one another. You know, the secret that brings great blessings and untold delight to the heart of a human being is really to see everything the way God sees. And if we learn to see everything the way God sees, I'm telling you, you'll be blessed. Because God sees you healed, you know. God doesn't see, let me explain to you, even scientifically it can be explained. All of us live in a time zone, very slow. Sounds like Dory, Finding Nemo. We move in a time confined zone. God doesn't. God looks up and God sees the beginning to the end. We go through a process of healing. God sees us healed. When God talks to you, God says, all right, by His stripes you were healed. Past tense. You know, when God looked at Abraham, the Bible says he was 100 years old. His body is now dead, which he did not consider. And Sarah's womb is now barren, doubly barren, which he also did not consider. Because why? He saw the way God saw. God looked at them and they are in a time zone, which means they are now 100 years old and 90 years old respectively. But when God looks at him, God sees him with a child. So God called him like this. In the past tense, I have made you a father of many nations. By that point in time when God said, I have made you, God has not yet made, right, in the natural. But that's how God calls things. God calls things in the past tense. God sees the process already completed. Now I tell you this, if Einstein is saying, he will understand what I'm saying. Amen. Once you are in the realm of light, you see the completed process already. And God, the Bible says, God is light. Amen. Not the light that we talk about, but God is light, the source of all light. So God is outside time. How many understand what I'm saying? When God sees you, God sees that child reconciled. God sees the blessings in the family already. And we have to see it like that. But the best of all is that we can see it because of what Jesus did. Amen. Silver socket again means what? Redemption. Alright? That's why the song goes like this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. We need to promote the hymnal CD again. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's redemption. You cannot stand on any other ground. You cannot stand on your own efforts. When the wind comes, you'll be blown away. Those standing boards are standing, number one. They are upright before God because of the silver sockets. Another thing is that they are all stable because of silver sockets. The more we rest on the redemption of Jesus Christ, the more blessed you become. In fact, until the time of Jesus, the temple was still collecting the half shekel of silver. You know that there were temple officers that came to Capernaum, the town of Jesus. By the way, when you all join me in Israel, we'll bring you to the town of Jesus. They have unearthed it. And the same synagogue where he preached, where he cast the devil out, all right, that synagogue is still there. You'll be standing on the same place Jesus stood. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Amen. And church, let me just tell you this. It's going to be exciting.
Yes.
Reading the Bible at that spot. In fact, a lady brought her non-Christian husband during one of the trips where I conducted, and I spoke to the husband at the synagogue of Jesus in Capernaum, and the husband got saved. Today he's attending our church regularly, but you know what that does for him? Every time he opened the book and see Jesus went to Capernaum, he got saved in Capernaum. Literally, the man got saved in that town of Jesus. Amen? And in Capernaum, some temple officers came to Peter, and they said to Peter, does your master pay tribute? That word tribute there is not taxes. It's not the Roman officers, which is many times misinterpreted. All right, there's the temple officers asking for the half shekel of silver. And then Peter says, of course he pays. All right, now Peter was too glib. He was too rash with his words. I'll tell you why. Because he went in and Jesus stopped him. And Jesus says, Peter, let me ask you a question. When rulers of a kingdom, they rule, of whom do they collect tribute? Of their own children or of the people? Of their own sons or of the common people? And Peter says, well, not from their own sons, of course, from the people. And Jesus says, you know what, lest we offend them. Go into the Lake of Galilee, because you'll see when you go to Israel, Capernaum is just by the Lake of Galilee. Go to the lake, throw the first hook, but the fishing rod. And the first fish that comes out, take from its mouth. And the Greek there says, one shekel, for you and for me. Half, become one shekel, and pay it, lest we offend them. Now, why did Jesus ask the question, of whom do kings receive tribute, from their own sons or from the people? Peter missed it. No? What he was saying is this, do I have to pay tribute to my father's temple? Does my father collect? He was saying he's a son of God. His deity was proclaimed there, and yet, you know, Peter was too rash to say, of course my master pays tribute. Jesus just wanted Peter to know that he didn't have to, but he says, lest we offend them, go and give one silver from the fish mouth. I tell you this, you got no money, God can bring a fish with money in the mouth. By the way, when you are in Israel, end of this year, you will eat at a special restaurant, deep fried tilapia fish. It's called St. Peter's fish. Deep fried, squeezed with lemon. One whole fish. The Americans freak out. They cannot take that. They cannot take the whole fish with the head and the tail. For them, they ask for chips. Fish and chips. So they have a different version for Americans. But for Singaporeans, we eat it like Israelis. With the head, the tail. And I know some of you eat the head and the eyeballs, everything. All right? So in Israel, they will have this. We'll be eating it probably more than once. All right? And I know that Deacon Matthew cannot take one only. He must have two. So that fish has been known. It's proven. For those who understand fish, who study fish, that fish has been known to take its young in its mouth. It'll keep its young in its mouth. Its young, a fish in its mouth. And also when it finds a very silvery object, it loves it, it's attracted to it, and it will keep it in its mouth for a while. That's not the miracle. The miracle is that, throw the net, the fish that comes out has a coin. Jesus can put you at the right place at the right time. Right fish will come. To pay off your taxes. Amen. You don't have to depend on the root system of the earth. He has got a system beyond this earth. That will take care of you because He says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. By Christ Jesus. When God's word says He will supply according to His riches, not out of. Which implies, alright, there's a lot, but out of means you get only a portion. But God says He will supply according to all His riches. If language means anything, that means God lines up all His riches. God says all is yours. Doesn't supply out of, supply according. Hallelujah. Amen, amen church. So you don't have to be afraid of open up the Straits Times and you see, oh, this is happening. Oh, that is happening. Oh my goodness, CPF. He's got a system beyond the worldly system. If we are people that are just earthly, of course, we'll feel the helplessness as the worldly system goes up, and then it will always, come on, go down. And then it goes up and goes down. Then how do we feel all the time? Up, down, up. That's how people get seasick. We must fix our eyes on something unmovable, unshakable, and eternal. When I was in the Navy serving my national service, my first time on board the ship, alright, we hit a wave. I mean, a huge storm, rather. Not a huge storm, but a stormy sea. And it was my first experience of a stormy sea on board not a very huge boat, alright? I was going like this. Then I felt like throwing up. Some of my friends were throwing up already. So one of the officers told me this. The secret is this. The trick is this. Alright? Don't look around you at all the waves, he says. Alright? You feel like throwing up. Look far away at the horizon. Can you see that line on there that's stable, solid, doesn't move? Look at it for a while and you'll feel better. So I look at it for a while. You know, even though the whole thing was moving, my eyes was fixed on something unshakable, unwavering. After a while, I felt better. I never threw up. Amen. Got it? Got it? We don't look around our surroundings and look at the papers and look at our news media and all that and get affected. You feel earth sick. Amen. You look to something eternal, God's word that says, my God shall supply. Not may supply, shall supply. Nothing is more definite than the English word shall. Shall supply all your needs. How much of your needs? All. According to what? His riches, not according to any of the banks on earth. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, Jesus paid because He's such a gracious, humble Lord. Even though He owns the temple. And those people who collect are working for Him. He is the God of the temple. He's like, you don't expect the God of the temple to pay, isn't it? They are paying to Him. Right? But He says, lest we offend them. Amen? And you know what, believers? We must learn not to offend people. I know some of you are naturally given to this gift, but as believers, the Bible says, give none offense, neither to the Jew or Gentile or the church of God. That tells us in, by the way, that verse is from Romans. Give none offense, neither to the Jew or Gentile or church of God. Which means when God looks on earth, God doesn't see, you know, Caucasians or Chinese or Italians or what. God, when God looks down, God only has to see three groups. Either Jews, Gentile, non-Jews, and the church, which is made up of Jews and Gentiles who are saved. All right? So the Bible says we got to learn to not give offense. Amen? As far as possible, live peaceably. Amen. Now, I want to bring this to a close. But look up here. This is where, the last time I preached on this, this is solid. You know, the two hands, again, the two tenants, you should actually say the board is standing on 2 feet, isn't it? There are two projectiles, right? So it should say actually 2 feet, isn't it? But the Hebrew says two hands holding up the tabernacle, the board, excuse me, holding you and me up. Why it says two hands instead of 2 feet? The Hebrew says two hands. Our English says tenants, whatever that is. Two hands. And then we read in John 10, when Jesus talks about, I am the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus said it this, like this also, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Amen. Now look up here, church. Are you his sheep? You know his voice. Don't get worked up with, do I know God's voice? Do I really know God's voice? The more, you know, it's like a child doesn't say, do I know my mama's voice? Do I know my mama's voice? No, a child knows. It's one of those things that the more you concentrate, the worse it becomes. It's like your heartbeat. If you concentrate on your heartbeat, you might do danger to your heartbeat. You might have a heart attack. All right, now, is it beating or not? I can't hear it beating there. I can't hear it beating. I can't feel it beating. You might do danger. Just be cool, forget it. It's one of those things in life. Some of the greatest things in life works unconsciously. All right? So the same thing, hearing God's voice. Now, today, now we have seminars on hearing God's voice. It's amazing. The more I used to believe that, you know, until I read the scriptures in Paul's letters. Paul never taught people how to hear God's voice. He just assumes they know. It is not hearing God's voice. It's the pretending not to hear. There's a problem that believers have. They want to hear something else. When God says, you know, for example, spend more time with your children. That's not God. I want to hear something else. I want to hear how to make money. In this particular case, in my new project, I want to hear God. But God says, you know what? Sometimes when you take care of this first thing that God tells you to take care, He takes care of that one. He might not even speak to you about that one. All of a sudden, you take care of what He tells you to do, He takes care of that area. That's God for you. Amen. You know, if you don't know God's voice, you'll never be safe. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. That's how you might be in a rally or in a church or your friend spoke to you about Jesus. Somewhere along the way, Jesus spoke to you and you responded. Amen. Can I have a good amen? So Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, not my sheep has to learn to hear my voice. It's a statement of fact. It's a declaration of fact. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Amen. And it says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Stop. Look up here. You know, we got to learn to go by the plain declarations of Jesus. People can go to Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10, and I can explain those two chapters as well. And I have a teaching explaining those two chapters, where people cause a lot of confusion to people and all that. And they want to go to the obscure passages to prove that, you know what, a Christian can lose his salvation. All right? And they forget all the plain statements of Jesus, like, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Is it plain? Now look up here, look at me. Is it plain or not? It's plain, isn't it? I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. When you are born again, did Jesus give you eternal life? Yes. And He's promised you will never perish. Never means never. We learned that from James Bond movie, isn't it? Never. Amen. Then the next, after there's a movie called, a James Bond movie called Never Say Never Again. Then they still have another James Bond movie and it's still going on. So their never is not never. God's never is never. Amen, church. Hallelujah. Now that's a plain statement. Never allow obscure passages that you don't understand that seems to imply a Christian can lose his salvation, but it's obscure. Don't let obscure passages rob you of the joy of plain passages. Like what Jesus said just now. Alright? And by the way, there's an explanation for those obscure passages. Keep on coming on Thursday. And I did explain those obscure passages. But don't, you know, Pastor Prayer, it looks like, you know, this is Christian who lost his salvation. What does this mean? Or what does it mean? There's a sin unto death. Amen? They shall never perish. And then you always have someone in the, what if? I say, go and join the Indian movie. What if, you know? What if someone become a Christian, after many years, they become a pastor, after that, he renounced Jesus? You know, they always find some remote case that most likely that person was not even a Christian in the first place. Is it possible to be a pastor and not a Christian? Of course. Amen. What if? Don't just go by the plain statement. He says, I give them eternal life, they shall never perish. Never perish. Amen? So let that word soak into you. Don't allow the devil to bring obscure passages, which also can be explained, because nothing in the Bible contradicts itself. But don't allow obscure, that you're not even sure about, that seems to imply, all right, that you might lose your salvation, to rob you of the joy of plain scriptures, and they shall never perish. It's so plain. Amen? All right, moving right along. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Anyone includes what? The devil, right? And Jesus says, once you are safe, no one can snatch them out of my hand. He's got you in his hands. Amen. Like the little children's song, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother. He's got you and me, brother. In his hand, he's got you and me, brother. See, they can identify with this. This is a rap generation. Hallelujah. He's got us in his hands. And what he promised? No one. Neither shall anyone. That includes the devil. That includes you. You know, when I was a young Christian, growing up, I heard someone say this to me in my previous church. Yes, we are in Jesus' hands, but you know what? He will hold us. The devil cannot touch us, but you know what? We can jump out. So here, the Lord Jesus is trying to give assurances to us. And you know, our brilliant, creative, fallen minds try to find something to not reassure us. He's doing his very best. You know, like Paul says, I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, finally, nor demons, nor principalities, nor nothing, he says. No creature and nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And somebody says, yes, but we can step out of it. He's, you know, that passage is doing, are you a creature? It says, no creature can separate you. That includes you, creature. I don't know, why is it that some people, they are blessed because out of a mess, they bring blessing out of it. Like the Bible says in the book of Psalms, you know, they go through the valley of Baca, and Baca in Hebrew means tears. They go through the valley of tears and weeping, and they turn it into a wells of pools for refreshment for others. That means they bring blessing out of adversity. But some people, all right, blessing everywhere, they find adversity to pull out. Yes. Amen. And a few of you are like this. Your husband can praise another woman and says, you know, but she's well dressed, she's dear.
Yeah, but you know, have you noticed that she, you know, I think that the one is bluff one.
Why? Must you put someone down that you might go up? Must you push someone down so you can go higher? What a cheap thrill. And that someone cannot be a silver socket that is solid. You always be wavering and you might fall anytime. You know what? There can be a situation whereby you are blessed and I'm blessed. Amen. God is so big that God don't have to bless me at your expense. God doesn't have to bless you at my cost. It's not as if God says, I'm sorry, I must take from you to give to him. You understand not? I'm sure you understand, all right? You have to give up your meal for this person to eat. No one ever asks, God, since you are so big, how come you can't bless us both? And Jesus demonstrated with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, after he blessed everybody, there was still 12 baskets full left over. That's God! And then our parents say, you know what? You must finish all your plate. Think of all the hungry children in Africa. Let me tell you this. If I finish everything on my plate, The children in Africa are still hungry. How many understands that? Yeah, nothing is going to happen. But our parents, all right? You must understand, they're also what? Victims of their parents. And we've been handed down from generations a mentality of what? There's not enough out there. There's not enough. There's not enough. There's not enough. And it's true. When you look around you in this world, there's not enough. All right? We are like a tree in the desert. But with God, there's all supply.
Amen?
Amen? Can I have a good amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. So let me bring this to a close. And this is where I want you to see. How many of you know this? The theme verse of our church, New Creation Church. It says, what? Where is it taken from? Y'all must know this. It's sacrilegious, you don't know. Therefore, come on, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And I can see some of you not quoting it. Hallelujah. Alright, that's our church theme. Why? Because that's our church name, New Creation Church. Amen? You thought this new creation is a new creation that I invented, is it? No, it's from 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. Now, many of us know that verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know what's the verse 16 before that? You know what's the verse before verse 17? Before it says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. You know what the verse says? Don't turn to it because of time. Look up here. At home, don't want to read. Come here. Anyway. I'm just kidding. Verse 16 says this. From now on, Paul says, we know no one. We recognize no one after the flesh anymore. That means we don't recognize anyone based on their outward appearance, based on their accomplishments, based on what they are in the natural. Amen. We don't look at anybody based on the clothes they wear, based on what they have, their accomplishments, their status in society. We don't recognize anyone after the flesh. So how does he recognize everybody? Once you're born again, we are all new creations. The next verse tells us that. And that's how we got to see one another. We got to see one another. Again, the golden bots. Can you see the golden bots? All right, this is a golden bot also. The golden bots, can you see side by side? They are standing side by side. And you know what binds them together? There are five bars. You can't see the bars from here. All right, there are five bars that goes through. By the way, each of the standing bot has a ring. Two rings, okay? And the rod bars go right through, binding them all together, side by side, side by side, side by side. Amen. And this is what unites us together. And there are five bars, five number of grace. Plus the fact the five bars speaks of the ministry of the apostles, alright, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Alright, they unite for the unity of the body of Christ. And, church, that's how we all are. We all stand together, side by side, containing the presence of God. And we all are overlaid with righteousness of God. Now let me bring this to a close by saying this. Close how many times, Ria? Three times, Ria, okay. This, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Behold, I come to you the third time. Finally, my brethren. You know, put down your Bibles, look up here. This changed my life. As a pastor even, there are times I look at people and I look at the body of Christ. You know what? I can see. And especially more so as a pastor, you know people. All right? And you know what? You can start seeing, and then also you know this person's background, you know this person, you know the situation, all that. And those things may be true. Some things about people's lives, it's true. It's not true. But the Bible doesn't say, funny brethren, whatever is true and stop there. Think on these things. It says whatever is true and whatever is of virtue, whatever is lovely, think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, some things are true, but it's not worth meditating on. Some things are true about people, but let's find something virtuous. Now, where can we find something virtuous? There are people who thought before, and they have challenged us, young Christians, you know, years ago, try to find something good in someone, and praise them. That came from Dale Carnegie's book somewhere. How to Win Friends and Influence People. Find some good in someone and praise them. But you know what? I tried my best. Something I can't find. So the best way to view is not the worldly method. Try to find something good. When I thought I found the good, the guy manifests, the good become evil. Very disappointing. And life becomes very bleak and dark. But when I realized this truth some years ago, I began to see everybody as covered with gold. Right now, when I look at all of you, I don't see your faults and your idiosyncrasies. I really don't. I see all of you beautiful, covered with gold. Jesus gold. Because all of us are in Christ Jesus. And do you know how many boards there are making the tabernacle? Exactly 48. And why is this important? It is important because that phrase, in Christ, that phrase, in Christ, appears exactly 48 times in Paul's writings. That means the wood is now covered with gold. We are all in Christ. And God does not see you with all your faults. God does not see you with all your sins. God does not see you with all your shortcomings. God sees Jesus covering you. God sees the gold. And we ought to see one another with the gold. But the devil wants us to look at one another and you know, find fault. Look at one another and say, I know why she's here. I tell you this, lad, she's here to find a husband. Yeah. Oh, is it? You know, so-and-so is found in New Creation Church, you know? Yeah, looking for a husband. And then when this person is faced with a crisis and all that, they find their faith is not working. Why? Because they have not discerned the Lord's body accurately. I'm bringing this to one full close now. Can you see it? Can you see? What is discerning the Lord's body? To see the way God sees. And you know what? If I see a brother, I see a sister, sometimes their faults are very glaring. But all the more, the people with the faults most glaring are the ones who need our love the most. Amen. They go to the world see their fault, the world reject them. Go to the church will reject them. What kind of church is this? Amen? And by the way, there's no such thing as, in Singapore, there's 245 churches. There's no such nonsense. That's how man talks. I mean, earthly man. God says there's only one church. Every member of any church is our brother and our standing board. And they are also covered with gold. Well, in our church, we preach grace. Oh, we preach grace means you specially covered with gold. Others are not. Grow up and realize. And you know what? One of the things I love the most is when I, like for example, the Hillsong one, all right, the indoor stadium, when people from all different churches come together, or even in the past when I attend a festival of praise, whatever. And this is how I see. After I learned this is how I see. I see everybody, every pastor, every leader, every member. I see all of them. My goodness, so many standing boards containing God's presence. And before you know, you can worship God, you can praise, and you're looking scripturally, and your heart is filled with love for people. They can say things about you, doesn't really matter. You see them as a standing board covered with gold. Even those who speak against you, those who are cruel to you, you see them as a standing board, and God does not see their faults, neither should I. And that will keep you safe, church. We're all covered with gold. No such thing as, I got no gold. No, we all have the same goal. We're all standing side by side. No one is standing on top of one another. It will look deformed, the tabernacle. Amen, church? So you know what? When you look at one another right now, when you look at people around you, when you meet someone during lunch afterwards, see them, all right, they might talk a lot, they might talk nonsense. In the natural, you feel like avoiding their presence. But one perspective to help is that see them as even she, Jesus died for her and covered her with gold. God does not see all this idiosyncrasies, neither should I. She's my standing partner. Amen. I loved her. I know some people need more endurance, some people need more patience, and what the Bible is full of, New Testament is full of one another. Right? Love one another. Bear with one another. Forbear one another. There are two bears you must have at home besides Winnie the Pooh. You must have bear and forbear. After your bear, all right, after you thought your bear finished it, another nonsense came out. You still must forbear. That's the body of Christ. And if you allow bitterness to come in, you allow hatred to come in, you allow grudges to come in, you know what's going to happen to you? You only color your waters become bitter. And we learned last Thursday that, and Friday, our Bible study, that bitter waters causes the curse. Sweet waters brings healing. Don't allow your waters become bitter. And you know what? It's a perspective that keeps your water sweet, looking at people the way God sees them. We are all standing boards. Look around you. All these are golden boards. Turn to your neighbor and say, golden Lord, say amen. I see gold. I see gold. Amen. Praise God. Imagine New Creation Church going out, all the members going out, telling people, I see gold. Seeing members of other church, I see gold. They say, what kind of preaching is this, man? Your pastor is making you all materialistic. Never mind, I see gold in you. Stay away from me. I got no gold, huh? Silver and gold have I none. I see gold. Then you tell them what we mean is that we see you covered with gold in Christ. Amen. You know, whatever I preach, you know, if you want to twist it and criticize it, you can find something. Amen. And I'm telling you, go for gold. Now, if you switch on the TV right now and you watch me, go for gold. Again, he's preaching prosperity. This guy is preaching prosperity. I tell you, New Creation Church is a prosperity cult. It's not a cult. Let me tell you, God watches over this church. You don't have to worry about, you know, giving to the church, whether this church or another church. You don't have to worry about the people ministering the money. If they mess around, it's the Lord's money. He will mess with them. Amen.
Well, I need to know everything before I give.
Don't give. Don't give. Please don't give. And by the way, you know what? I still see you as gold. Amen. Pastor Prince, that's not a gold, Pastor Prince, that's a charcoal. No, no, brother. No, no, no. He's still gold. Amen. That's how God sees him. Amen. Amen. Remember those times when you were really stingy? When you first came to church, you were very stingy. Nobody gets my money. Stay away. Offering back. Get the hands. And now you are so liberal, and you can't imagine that you were so stingy last time. You must also be equally patient with another golden boy. As they are growing, as they are learning. Amen, church. How many are glad that? Thank God for this view. It's a simple teaching. View one another the way God sees us. Don't see the... It's very hard. It's going to be a challenge. Sometimes it might be your mother-in-law. It might be a... She's not here, praise God. Why you always think of my mother-in-law? I happen to have a very good mother-in-law, by the way. I'm not saying that by faith. She is a wonderful mother-in-law. Amen? She's a wonderful mother-in-law. She is. It might be someone in your family. I'm telling you the truth. You know, some of you, it's like when you know your mother, you know your father well, all right? When they say something, you know, you're always very impatient with them. In front of your friends, you're impatient because you know them. I should always say the kind of, I should always say, be careful. You can only love them in this life. And you can only love them while you still can. No point crying eyeballs of tears when they pass on. Love them while you still can. Be patient. Yes, they might have all these things because, you know what? Listen carefully. You're not the only one covered with gold. They are also. So see them like that. And you know what? Once you see them like that, see the way God, the love will be there. Amen. If you're not going to be patient with them, who's going to be patient with them? Amen. Especially our family members. Especially the older ones in the family. And I see people very, very rude to them, cut them off, this kind of thing and all that. Now, some of you look at me like you're so innocent, right? You know? But don't forget, we need... And you know what? But Pastor Prince, how do you see the world if they're not safe? Same thing. Jesus saw them as sheep. You can't see them covered with gold. You can't see your colleagues. I see you covered with gold. No, they're not covered with gold. There are still trees out there in the desert. But another way you can see is that the way Jesus saw the lost. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. The Bible says Jesus had compassion on them because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. What a wonderful perspective to look at people. And some church people says, no, sinners are devils in the human flesh. And are wicked sons of Belial. These are sons of Satan. That's not the way to look at people. Jesus never saw them as sons of Satan. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Because he's a shepherd. And he had, notice, it gave him compassion. To see people, you see, when you pass by a discotheque, like, you see them, sheep without a shepherd. Don't say, demon possessed. Hey, man! That will give you a perspective of hatred, prejudice. No, see them as what? Sheep without a shepherd. It will give you compassion. You see, Jesus is not a tailor. He's a tailor looking at the sheep. Wow, plenty of suits. Jesus is not a butcher. A butcher look at a lamb. Wow, a lot of mutton chops. Lamb chops. How many are glad he's a shepherd? Amen. That's how we see the lost, and this is how we see one another. So all your golden boards. I'm your fellow golden board. Together, we go for gold.